Let's take our Bibles this evening, turn to Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4. Being an anniversary, I thought birthday or old jokes, stuff like that. But about a week and a half ago, I was having breakfast with our lawyer, and it kind of took that joking thing away when he said, "You know, you're looking old." And he caught himself. He says, "You know, I meant that in a good way." I said, "Well, there is no good about what you just said." So I thought I wouldn't do some old jokes because it's kind of personal right now. But I found some things about moms that I thought there were some elementary school age children, and they were asked questions about mothers. And I thought some of these answers were good. One question was, "Why did God make mothers?" One student replied, "She's the only one who knows where the scotch tape is." The second, another one answered, "Why did God make mothers?" And they answered, "Mostly to clean the house." And then here's another one. I thought this was pretty good. "What ingredients are mothers made of?" This one is just... tear will probably come to your eye. "God makes mothers out of clouds and angel hair and everything nice in the world and one dab of mean." And I thought that was kind of true. Then another person, "What ingredients are mothers made of?" Another student answered, "They had to get their start from men's bones. Then they mostly use string." That's what they said. And then question number three, why did God give you your mother and not some other mom? One student said, "We're related." I thought that makes sense. Another one answered, "Well, God knew she likes me a lot more than other people's moms like me." It's a little complicated, but I was like, "Yeah, I know some of them kids." Then I like this one. "What kind of little girl was your mom?" Then one person put this, "I don't know because I wasn't there, but my guess would be she was pretty bossy." Then the other person put this, "What kind of little girl was your mom?" And this person said, "They say she used to be nice." So I don't know if the teachers got those and gave them to moms, but I thought they were appropriate. All right, Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4. We're going to look at starting in verse 1. Joshua 4, starting in verse 1. "And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take ye 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men, whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan. Take you up, every man of you, a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, At the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day." You'll notice down and verse 19. Some people, they say this is a little bit of confusion in the passage here, but it says in verse 19, the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and camped in Gilgal and the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And some, if you study the commentators, if you look at verse 9, it seems to be a contradiction. I don't really have a problem. It doesn't really shake my faith because in one passage it's saying that Joshua put it in the midst of Jordan. And in one passage it's saying that he told him to carry it and put it in Gilgal. And for me, one easy thing is there could be two. You know, it didn't take me real long to think of that one. And that didn't shake my faith that much, but it could be, and some people believe that, it could be that right in the middle of Jordan that there's a stack of 12 stones, and then you go to Gilgal, and there was another memorial, so that both places. But it really doesn't matter necessarily where the stones were laid, if it was only one of them and it was in the middle of Jordan, or if it was there in Gilgal. The point is that Joshua told them to take 12 stones, carry him across, I believe, carry him across, and take him to Gilgal, and there they were supposed to set up a memorial. Set up a memorial. And this evening, I thought it would be fitting for us to think about this idea, what mean these stones? What mean these stones? And then we're going to explain the passage, look at the passage, and then apply it to ourselves. Because for us, there should be memorials set up. And in fact, an anniversary is a memorial. It's a time to look and to ponder and to think. Jesus Christ, in fact, over and over, or God, for the in the Old Testament, the Israelites, they were told over and over, lest thou forget. Over and over, he placed things in their lives so that they would not forget. And it's a danger for you and I as Christians that as we go along in the Christian walk, that God does all kinds of things. He first of all saved us. And so many times we hop along in life and we forget what it cost for Christ to save our soul. We almost start thinking that there must be something good in us. There must be something that God saw in us, and there is nothing. He didn't see anything in us. He didn't see anything good. And so it is very important for us to have memorials. Memorials. Now, there are many unique memorials in America and in the world. In fact, in London, I don't know, I think I was in teen mode when I was studying for this, and in London, there is a traffic light tree memorial. And I paused to consider what that meant, and I couldn't think of it. But there is a traffic light tree that was designed, and probably, I'm telling you, one of us here, and if you would just give 25% for me giving you the thought right now, somebody here could come up with a more substantial memorial than a traffic light memorial and get millions for it. And if you would just kick back 25% to the church, all right, because of the thought that I just gave you. But here's somebody, some French guy named Perrier, and not the water, but he set 75 traffic lights together in a tree. And it sits in the city of London. All right, that's a memorial. I found this one in Cawker City, Kansas. In Cawker City, Kansas, there's the world's largest ball of twine. Sits as a memorial snugly there in Cawker City, Kansas. The ball of twine was started back in the early 1950s, and it grows because they have an annual festival that includes a twine winding contest, ensuring that the ball of twine will continue to grow. I have no idea what that means either. In Philadelphia, thinking, and this is probably just a reminder to Philadelphians, where's Ra? All right, just a reminder to Philadelphians, there's a 45-foot-tall clothespin. It's probably a reminder to Philadelphians that they should wash. That's what I was thinking. Or that they should hang themselves out to dry. That's, you know, I'm thinking one of those two things. But there's all kinds of memorials. All kinds of memorials. In fact, in Arcola, Illinois, it's the world's one and only hippie memorial. It's a hippie memorial. In Texas, there's the Cadillac Ranch. You can look it up, and there is a row of Cadillacs that are buried with their engines in the ground, you know, face down in the ground. Cadillac Ranch. I have no idea what it means, but people go there and take pictures of that Cadillac Ranch. So memorials, you know, in America, some memorials are stupid. But then you go to Memorial Day, and you study about Memorial Day. Memorial Day was started way back. The thought of it was started in April of 1863. There's a couple of ladies that got together, and their sons had died in the war down in Columbus, Mississippi. They decorated the graves of their sons. And then there was an elderly woman that was there, and she noticed that there were some unmarked graves from the enemy. And so she went over and she decorated those graves. And a few years later, some other people kind of caught on to this idea, and it officially became Memorial Day in 1868, where people came together and they started to think and memorialize what had happened in the past. And so here in our text here in Joshua chapter 4, Joshua is telling the children of Israel that you're going to grab these stones and they are supposed to be a memorial. What mean these stones? Part of it was when you study even the Jordan River. When we went over to Israel, we were all laughing at our guide because he took us to one spot and he kind of indicated that, well, you know, the dividing of the Jordan River, it really wasn't that much. Well, obviously, he hasn't read history, because the Jordan River at some times could be up to, they say, a mile wide, and they have proof of that. Also, the Jordan River, when it was flowing really fast, could be up to 15 feet deep. So the Jordan River was not something that you'd come up to and say, wow, you know, I think we'll just, yeah, that's no big deal. I'm pretty sure that we'll be able to just wade across this. No, at sometimes it could be flowing so fast and so furious that, man, they weren't knowing if they could get across. And so one thing, just to come up to it and it to be divided and walk across. And remember, all of those walking across, what do we know about them? All they knew about the Red Sea? All they knew about the Red Sea was word of mouth. Remember that? Because what do we know? There was only a couple, and that had been Joshua and Caleb and his family, but everybody else was buried in the wilderness. Remember, God promised that. Their carcasses would not last. They would not make it, he said. Their carcasses would die in the wilderness. So all the people that saw the parting in the Red Sea, they were dead. And so here are their children kind of coming up to a similar place in their life, where God had to part the Jordan River now. So as they come across, Joshua then instructs them and says, hey, we're going to take some stones and we're going to build them up and we're going to carry them to Gilgal. We're going to place these stones. That way, you have a memorial. We're going to talk about that this evening then. Memorials. What mean these stones? The first thing you see here is the need for memorials. We're just going to kind of touch on a couple things and then apply it. The need for memorials. Why is there a need for memorials? Well, if you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Bible tells us why there is a need for memorials. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 12. It says here, "Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. You shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you." He talks about being a jealous God. Verse 16, "Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God." We're supposed to diligently keep his commandments. So in verse 12, God says, don't forget. The reason we put up a memorial is so that we do not forget. Beware lest you forget. One older person wrote this, "We have short memories. I like my bifocals. My dentures fit me fine. My hearing aid is perfect, but how I miss my mind." Because you know what? Some of us, we start losing our memories, don't we? We start forgetting. Some, maybe you're getting to the point that you write down everything you want to remember. That way, instead of spending a lot of time trying to remember, you spend a lot of time trying to remember where you put the paper that you wrote it on. Because remembering things is important, isn't it? It's important for us. And God over and over instructed the Israelites, do not forget. We stressed that at the beginning, lest thou forget. And he placed things so that they would have memorials. When the danger is past, we often forget the God who helped us out. And we should put things in place so that there is a memorial so that we can go back to it and say, hey, now I remember what God did. That's why I believe one of the ordinances for the church is communion. Why? Because Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Because there's a tendency as a Christian to forget what God has done. There's a tendency for us to forget the past blessings. Sometimes it's a tendency for us to forget how God brought us through a trial and how he victoriously gave us a victory over temptation. Sometimes it is important then to put a memorial down. That's what we're talking about this evening. What mean these stones? The need for memorials is because of forgetfulness. The use of memorials, why do we use them then? Well, notice right in our text, we are given two reasons why we should have memorials. Look at verse 22. All right, and in the end of verse 21, it says, this is rehashing, Joshua is talking to the people again. They bring up the stones, and he says, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Verse 22, then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. I thought it was interesting. I never noticed it until I was reading it the last couple of days in the passage. Look at verse 10. It says, for the priest which bare the ark stood in the midst of Jordan. Now, I think one thing, the priest had to have a lot of faith there. Do you know that they were supposed to go ahead? And it says that the Jordan didn't split until their feet touched it. It wasn't like a couple feet before. And they're carrying the ark, charging. It's not splitting. All right, that guy in the lead, all right, he's probably getting nervous. He goes out, and there he is in the midst. All right, but notice later on, I noticed this later as I was reading it. In verse 10, it says, until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua. Notice what it said next. So here are the priests coming across, and the people hasted and passed over. Now I would be the same. You know, like, okay, now everybody, we're going to go in single file line while it's dry. All right? And everybody's sprinting across. They're just running across like, ah! All right? I have faith. I just thought it was funny that as they were probably telling their children, they probably avoided that word. You know, because it's kind of like one of our fish stories. You know, son, what mean these stones? Well, we didn't know how we were going to get across that Jordan. So we fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, son. No, they forgot to mention that that guy was just sprinting right across there. But you notice one of the reasons that a memorial is set is that we're supposed to teach our children from them asking about the memorial. They came up and they say, hey, look at that set of rocks here in Gilgal. And you'll notice they had to put those rocks on their shoulder. I think they were big rocks. I don't think they were looking around and like, hey, you know what, we're going to pick one man from the tribe, one man. And they're like, Irvin. No. Sorry, Irvin. I know you're probably strapping strong wiry, but I'm thinking, Paul Payton, yeah, all right. Yeah, our tribe wants Paul Payton. Let's grab that one. Because I think they're looking around and they're going to grab a big rock and carry it across because it's memorializing something important. And we set that down and they build it up. And it's kind of, those of you that have been on hikes or climbs, that stack of rocks is called a cairn. All right? I think it's C-A-I-R-N. All right? A cairn. And they build it kind of like a pyramid. And so here, they're building that up, and so that when people see it, here are the children, and they look at it. What should they do? What are the parents supposed to do? It says, you tell them how you came over on dry land. So what are they telling them? The Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we were gone over. Go back and talk about the blessings and the miracles that happened. Now, one reason we have memorials is to teach our children. We're supposed to teach them what have happened before. Now you can see the application, I think. What is a memorial for? What is an anniversary for? Lest you forget. Lest you forget. Do you forget the things that God has done? You say, oh, you know what? It's somewhere in a book. You know, just go find it. You know, that's kind of the bad thing about having kids, isn't it? The bad thing about having kids is, you know, as they're growing up, everything. It's the didactic teaching. Daddy, why is that there? You start twitching. As you're driving down the road. What's that sign for? And then at a very early age, you start telling them, no, don't read the billboards. All right, all of us have probably been to that point. No, don't read that. All right, but we call that didactic teaching. And part of that is because as the children are growing up, what are they doing? They're asking questions and we're answering them. And that is some of our children's education. We're teaching them and teaching them and teaching them. That's why even in our history, in U.S. history, in American history, that's why it's important that they remember what happened. Why do you think that the government wants to change the history? Why do you think they want to change the history? You can go to the Bible and you understand because as they come up and they say, what mean these stones? They say, well, you know what? They were okay, but they were all racist. Oh, really? Because you learn things of how someone talks about that memorial. It's a way of teaching. It's a way of teaching. And so you and I have a responsibility. We have a responsibility in this church. What mean these stones? What mean these buildings? Dad, what? Why do we have this? Dad, what does that mean? You have a responsibility because you need to know it, and then you say, God did something miraculous. God did something mighty. And he wants to do it again. And he wants to do it again. And it gives us an opportunity to teach our children that our God is mighty. In your life, that means you have to start setting up memorials. One memorial we have as a church is just our church. I don't know if you do it, but sometimes, even during the week, it's not all the time. But just walking into the church is a memorial. You can look around, and sometimes you're just in awe of what God has done, and it's a memorial of what God does. It's not of what we did, it's what God does. And you praise God, and you say, God, I can't believe what you do. It's a memorial. It should be set there for us. What mean these stones? Well, memorials are there because we forget, and memorials are there to help us teach our children. But memorials are there. Look what else. In verse 24, he gives us the second reason why memorials should be set up. He says that all the people of the earth might know what? The hand of the Lord. That it is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. There's nothing wrong with bragging about your God. There's nothing wrong with getting excited when God does something miraculous. What you're doing is giving honor to God, giving him praise, giving him glory. God wants that. In fact, the Bible tells us that. The Bible says that we were created to give him glory. So why don't we do it? When somebody comes in, I know sometimes we'll have a banker or we'll have somebody come and say, even today I was taking a guy down to show him his kids to his classrooms this morning. And he said, wow, what facilities. I say, yeah, I spent a lot of time over there building that myself. Yeah, right over there. Yeah, it was my design. Kind of saved the church a lot of money doing it myself. No. It's not our job. What should we do? Somebody said, oh man, what facilities? Oh, that's what God can do. It's God. It's not you or I. Now God has seen fit to use us. He uses human beings. But God does it. And so the reason we set up these stones and we set up a memorial is because we forget, and it helps us teach our children, and it also helps us to reach the world. According to this, it helps us when they come in to say, hey, we serve a mighty God. You know this because remember Jericho, after they had fought Jericho and all the other kings had heard? There was a grapevine. There was a communication link between all the kings, and they said, hey, remember the ones came and they tried to trick Joshua and they got him to the Gibeonites. And why did the Gibeonites come? Because they said, hey, we have heard. As a church, this community should hear of the mighty works. They should drive by and they should hear from our members. They should hear from our mouth. It should sound forth. Oh, it's not us, but we have a mighty God. We have a mighty God, and he does great things. And that's why even some of you, you'll talk to some. You'll try to get a coworker. You'll try to get a neighbor to come out. Some of you, you've moved into the area. And all of a sudden, the neighbors, where are you going? Oh, no, 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 no. In fact, I've talked to some of you, they're like, oh, you know, no, I'm not going there. You're going to try to convert me. They're scared to come on a Sunday morning. Why? So they might get saved. And you'd say, well, it's because of the great preaching. It's because of the great auditorium. It's because of the acoustics. We know that's not true, isn't it, Joel? Because now all of us are trying to listen in digital format. It's because of all of the modern technology we have in here. No. No, they come in and they fear the Lord that we preach. Because God can break their heart. God can crush their heart. And so they come in and they get saved. Why do we have these stones? What mean ye by these stones? Because we have a tendency to forget. And it helps us teach our children. It helps us reach others with our message. And so we should have some memorials then. There should be a memorial. I think sometimes you walk outside and you look at different buildings and you look at the campus and you drive around, whether it's back on the back side of the lake, you just go around in the beauty of it. And I believe memorials are important, and that's kind of our church. Our church, and in some way, is a memorial. And it stands here, and what does it represent? In some sense, it represents God's power. Isn't that what that memorial there in Gilgal, as they set it up, the Bible even says that. It was supposed to remind them that they walked across on dry land. And that represented God's power. And this place, as you step into the auditorium, as you step into some of the buildings, it should represent God's power, because He can do things that we can't see. He can do the impossible. Some of you sitting in the pew are a memorial of God's power, because you said, I will not be saved. But God saved you. God touched your heart. He saved your soul. And memorials are there to represent God's power. I think that memorial there in Gilgal also represented God's provision. Because they could go back. Remember, they weren't there in Egypt. They had been born in that wilderness. And they had been fed manna every day. They had been given angels food. Every day they were provided. And then the day before Sabbath, they were given a double portion. Every day was provided. And over, God provides our needs. He provides what we need. Memorials are important. And I think that even the name, as I was studying this, the priest came out, and I don't know how far, I wasn't able to look at all the distance. Sometimes it's hard looking at it when you're studying historical maps. But they come out of Jordan and they go into Gilgal. But it's interesting studying just the name Gilgal. They set up these 12 stones kind of in a cairn. They set up those stones so that when you see it, the children are saying, hey, what mean those stones? They set it up big enough, I believe, so that even the enemy, when they come by, they look at it and they say, hey, what mean those stones? And even the enemy says, oh, it's the children of Israel. They're here in the land. Their God split the Jordan wide open. And you know this because you've read the Bible. You know that the children of Israel, I don't understand it. But here, God split the Jordan wide open. He fed them. He feeds them. He gives them Canaan land. And then they go to idolatry. And then a judge comes and they go back and they're serving God. The judge dies and they go back to idolatry. And you and I aren't much different. And that's why it is important to come by and see those stones, and it reminds us that God has power and God has provision for you and I. And we should stop and tell our children so that they don't go off and do their own thing, so that they don't think that in their own flesh they can get by. No, they need to realize that God can supply their needs. And by trusting in Him, when it seems impossible, He can do it. But even in the name here, they put it up in Gilgal. The word Gilgal, when you put it together, it seems to indicate the reproach has been rolled away. That is the name of Gilgal. So they come across Jordan. And what has happened in the wilderness? Their parents were crabbing. Their parents were saying, you know what? We're not going to have faith enough to go across into the promised land. And then God steps up and says, hey, it's time to come across, Joshua. And then Joshua, he tells them to grab one from each tribe, and they grab those stones. They come across to Gilgal and they set up those stones. And just looking at the stones and remembering the name, it meant that the reproach was way back in the wilderness now. And I think for you and I, that is a great picture of God's forgiveness. Because we come to those stones at Gilgal. And I remember how I let God down. I remember how I didn't maybe serve Him like I should have. Maybe I didn't have the faith, but God said, you know what? I will still part the Jordan. And He says, set up a memorial. And when you see it, remember that the reproach is rolled away. The danger of us as human beings, as Christians, especially in America, I believe, the danger is that you forget. Have you forgotten God's goodness? Could you sing with that song, God is so good? Or you say, well, I don't know, God was so good. God was so good. But I can't remember why, because you haven't gone to that memorial. Because when you go to that memorial, you know what will happen? When you go to that memorial and you start thinking about what God has done, all of a sudden it starts bubbling up again. And you remember that God saved you. He redeemed you. And then, in my case, He calls me into the ministry. I don't know why He would call me into the ministry. He doesn't benefit by my preaching. But He calls me into the ministry and says, you work for me. Work in my fields. And over, He leads and guides you, and you know your heart. You know that you're not worthy. And you come to that memorial and you say, oh God, thank you. Because isn't that kind of what a memorial does? Makes you thankful. Remember that this summer. This summer, you know, we took a trip with a lot of the bus folks to D.C., and in some ways, I was thinking, going to D.C., I don't know about that. But as I was there, it just reminded me again of what our country means. what it means. And some of it is the memorials. You stand by the memorials, and then we kind of got caught up in the Civil War. So we were going to the Battle of Manassas. We were going to the Battle of Bull Run, and we would sit there and we'd look at it and we'd think about it. The one is right that they have a huge horse with a Stonewall on it, and that is where Stonewall got his name. And you're standing right at the spot that he got the name. And you're thinking of these men as they were running across the fields, and that they were dying. They were dying for what they believed in. And that is our country. And that's what built it. And you'd go down in D.C. and you'd walk by some of the memorials and the Vietnam Memorial, and you'd see people and they'd just be leaning up against it. And you know what they were doing. Remembering. There's a story of a lady named Peggy Harris. Her husband was a pilot in World War II. He flew in the France area in the European conflict, the region there. And due to various mistakes, she was never told what happened to her husband. Her husband's name was Billy. And she was never told, and for 60 years, she tried to find out what happened to her husband. Was he considered MIA? Was he killed in action? What happened? Finally, the family discovered that he was buried with his comrades in Normandy. She went over to Normandy. And when she got there, she started digging a little more, and she was pleasantly surprised to find that there was a small French town named Las Ventas. And somehow they had found out about Billy Harris. And the French village named a street after Billy Harris. Because when he was shot down, instead of flying into the town, he veered off and crashed, killing himself and the country. The town found out about Billy Harris and that he saved, in essence, their town by avoiding flying into their town. And they named a street after him. She met the mayor of the town. The mayor of the town knew her husband and, in fact, knew some of the people that had tried to rescue her husband. And the mayor of Las Ventas said of Billy Harris, "We don't forget." Said, "We don't. We don't forget." You and I have had a lot more given to us. Whether it's eternal life or the things that God has blessed us with here in our church. He's blessed us in our families. He's blessed us over and over. And we can step on, we can drive onto the property and we can see the memorial. And in our hearts, I believe we should set up some memorials. I think in our homes, there should be times that we have memorials that we look back and we say, "Look what God did." Because if you do not set those up, what are you going to do? You will forget. You will forget. And you will not give God glory. And what happens when that? Read the book of Judges. And find out what happens when you start forgetting. What happens is other idols take over your heart. Other things come in and they push God out. And then all of a sudden, "Well, yeah, I used to." Some of you, maybe that's where you're at. You used to go soul winning. You used to pray. You used to read your Bible. You used to be involved. You used to be so intense in serving God, but you forgot. Raise up that memorial. The choir, I thought it was interesting because I was looking at it this afternoon. The choir sang, "Come Thou Fount." It was written by Robert Robinson. And the second verse of that song, they didn't sing the second verse, but the second verse says, "Here I raise mine Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I'm come." It's taken from 1 Samuel chapter 7. And it's a sign, Ebenezer is a sign of God's faithfulness. And they're raising up an Ebenezer. But what's interesting in the story of Robert Robinson is that he wrote the song when he was 23 years old. And later in his life, he himself forgot what he wrote. It is said that he was riding along one day when he was later, they say maybe upper 40s, 50, he was riding in a carriage and there was a lady that was humming, "Come Thou Fount," and she was humming it. And she turned to Robert Robinson, who had gone away from God and been backslidden, and said, "Hey, what do you think about that song?" And it's said that he turned and said, "Madam, I am the poor, unhappy man who wrote that hymn many years ago. And I would give 1,000 worlds if I had them to enjoy the feelings I had then." What happened? Oh, he wrote it. He wanted us to sing it. To raise an Ebenezer. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. He wrote it in the song, but he forgot it because he didn't go back to that memorial. And you and I should be setting up memorials so that then as we come by and we walk those paths and we see those stones, we say, "Oh, I know what those stones mean. God, help me not forget." Heads bowed, eyes closed. Heads bowed, eyes closed. God may have...